The following audio is a Pod Bros exclusive.
What up, brah?
What up there?
Welcome to Media Layer Sandwich, episode 15.
Oh, 15, you're already up there.
Oh, yeah, we're obnoxious teenagers now.
Obnoxious, yeah.
With me is Crazy Mark from CrazyMark.com.
Hey.
And I'm Toden from Toden.com. And, of course, the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/ToadenK. We're Media Layer Sandwich, so somehow you're either listening to us or watching us.
Oh, yeah. If you're listening to us, grab another, drink, beverage, so you can get through it. And if you're watching us, make it two or three.
Yeah. They might need a couple more.
Yeah.
I figure if they're just listening to us, they're probably at work.
Oh, yeah. Turn it up for the boss. Hey, boss, what up?
Yeah, he loves this stuff.
Hey, you know that employee turning up the radio? Give him a raise. Her or him, yeah. Do it.
So today, we're talking about sound guys.
Oh,
sound engineers,
yeah.
Sound techs, whatever you want to call them.
Good. Or us. The bad and the very ugly.
So let's start. Let's talk about a little bit about our experience being sound guys.
Yeah, Toad. Well, you know, I mean, as being a sound guy, there is work. You got to pay attention. You have to stay awake. You can't be drunk and off your rocker if you're going to be taking care of your clientele, you know, or else word gets around and you're not doing sound anymore.
Right.
I mean,
what's your experience?
My experience from being a sound person is always a learning experience. You always have to be prepared with all sorts of different wires and cables and duct tape and MacGyvering with bubble gum and gaffer and hanger wire and the whole nine yards. You also have to listen to your bands and your clientele. And that's one thing I found there, Toden, is there's a lot of sound guys out there who seem to have selective hearing.
Right. I mean, because there's so many different types. I myself, a lot of times, I worked for a venue, and that venue, we didn't do big sound. Like, I couldn't do a band. I could do an acoustic act. Yeah. Most of the time, I ended up doing stand-up comedians.
Oh, dude, man, I never knew that.
Oh, yeah. Amy Schumer.
Oh, sweet.
Brian Brushwood.
Awesome.
And a bunch of other names. I don't remember who they are. A couple people I've seen on TV. But, you know, I couldn't really do a lot. So it was more or less, okay, here's your microphone. Let's do the sound check. Okay. You know, they do whatever. So many people don't even know how to do a proper sound check.
Oh, yeah.
One person brought up a guitar going, this is my sound check song. Keep in mind, she didn't play guitar at all during her act. But that was her sound check.
Okay, she played guitar. But
if
we went,
that's what you wanted to set up your sound for, whatever. All I have is one microphone and a simple analog soundboard. Not a whole lot I'm going to do anyways.
I mean, how much time did this person give you to do a sound check? I mean, was it like a quick 5 seconds or?
The one with the guitar actually had a full 3 or 4 minute song.
Okay, good. They give you time to actually get all your levels right there.
Right, I mean, I did have one stand-up comedian. He was being very picky about his sound. He would actually be like, turn this up, turn that down. Keep in mind, when you're on the stage, you know this. Do you ever tell the sound guy what you want when you're on the stage when you don't have a monitor?
That's a time when I like to put a sound gate, a noise gate, and a distortion and a tuber on those peeps. No, just joking. I'm a good sound guy. I won't do that to anybody.
Right. I mean, it's really, when you're on stage, you can't really hear what the audience is hearing.
No, not at all. And being a comedian, at least with, you know, vocals, with voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you had it easy there.
Oh, absolutely.
When it comes time for a band, you know, like I know this one girl, she traveled all the way across the U.S. to play a gig, and the sound guy was busy experimenting with her using a new app on the iPad. And I'm just saying, wait a minute here. You're supposed to practice this, not experiment on a professional musician, you know, on their time and on their budget. You know, that's ridiculous. I mean, but yeah, that still floors me, man. I never knew you were a sound guy for comedians.
Well, I worked for the venue. Oh, I didn't work for them. I worked for a venue. And, you know, that one guy I was talking about that's like, turn this up, yeah. turn that down, turn it. Like, okay, you know what? I'll get him in the ballpark because once the show starts, I'm going to change everything anyways because he has no say. Mm-hmm. Besides, he can't tell anyways. I just want something that sounds good from the audience. That is why I'm sitting where I'm sitting, which is all the way in the back of the room.
Yeah.
You know, because that's where you need to. That's where you need to be if you're a sound guy or someplace like that. For me, that's where I need to be. And when the show started, I didn't even touch anything yet. The guy in front of everybody, in front of the audience, the full pack audience.
Yeah.
He went, "Oh, hey, can you bring down my mids? Yeah, everything sounds horrible right now. We gotta change this."
So all of a sudden, in the middle of his repertoire. You know, like, right. not,
as soon
not,
as they came on like, stage.
It's like, why did the chicken cross the road? To get a better sound. You know, no, that doesn't work. You know, what you gotta see, there's
The other part of that is everything sounds different too once you fill up a place with people. So you got a person that knows that venue.
Yeah.
You should trust them a little bit.
You know, there's a lot of peeps out there who have sound guy phobia, you know, and I don't blame them at all because for every great sound person out there, you know, and I knew a great sound person, worked at the old Miami. His name was Schroeder. He was fantastic.
Did he have a cat?
No, he didn't have a cat. No, and neither was it in or out of the box either. But the thing was, this guy was fantastic. He was on his money, on his game. Mm-hmm. You know, you could bring in a 12-piece band and he'd get you spot on perfect. Plus, there was a time when he'd say, bring in a DVD, well, not a CD or a cassette. He'd say, yeah, bring in a cassette and I'll record your live performance. And it was so good that you could actually cut the tracks and sell them professionally. That's how fantastic this guy was. Then you have the other sound guys that are just absolutely, like you were telling me earlier, we had a discussion, set the sound, walk away.
Right. I've gone to conventions where, okay, at a convention, a lot of times those sound guys that work for the hotel,
yeah,
they cost money. They cost money to be there. So yeah. when there is 10, 15, 20 panels going on, they are either at the one they need to be at the most, or they're not getting paid enough to be at any of them. Or if they're getting paid enough, they're going from room to room, depending on what it is. Because there is a technician fee. Maybe not for every hotel, but I know for the venue I worked at, there was a technician fee if you wanted me to sit down during your panel discussions or something like that. And a lot of these places, they can't afford that technician fee, so they just set up the sound and they leave it. I had one guy yell at me because we changed from a panel to a movie screening, and they needed the sound guy to hook up the laptop, and we were 20 minutes late. I, as an audience member, I probably shouldn't do this, but I really want to watch this movie. I got up, I changed it. The audio guy started to scold me, and I said, you know what? We're running late. It needed to happen. You're right. I shouldn't have touched it. I should not have touched it. But it needed to be done. And then he scolded me for changing his levels on the board. I'm sorry, if you're really doing your job, you change your levels on your board every time a new panel started.
Yeah.
He was quiet, realized I knew what I was doing. I was still wrong, and I still emphasize you should not step into someone else's job. Mm-hmm. This is one of those situations where we needed to get going. People were losing money. The con was going to lose people over this because people came just for the screening that was already very late, and they had special guest stars, YouTubers that were very well known that were part of the movie and that were there in person. So I got that done, and as my reward, I got VIP tickets to my first YouTube VIP party.
There you go. Awesome there. You know, we can't
telling people to do that.
But still, we can't emphasize enough to all you sound peeps out there, you know, if you're nursing a hangover, you're too busy texting, then just don't take the job, you know. Let somebody else like Toad just like walk in, get the money, and make everything happy, you know. That's just the way it is, you know. I mean, it's I mean, now he's going to say he's only worked with comedians, you know. He also knows lots of other aspects about sound and stuff. He's got the experience from that. Toad, have you ever been in a band?
I have not. So there's a lot I don't. So I'm going to refer to your expertise on this.
Oh, man. Bands, I can't fill you enough out there. But there's, it's a two-way street, you know. You got the band that's a bunch of prima donnas that, that want to micromanage every last sound out there. And they go so far as to go down and try to tell the sound guy how to work his board. But by the same time, you have the sound guy that doesn't want to listen to the band. It's like Jack Spratt couldn't run sound and his band couldn't play the instruments or cooperate. I mean, I've seen the train wrecks at clubs, at the whole nine yards, and it's a wonder, you know, people say, why aren't you out supporting the local music scene? And I'll tell you right off, as you have that kind of drama going on, they show up, they see this happening, they buy for their drinks, and they get out of there because the last thing they want to see is a band and a sound guy duking it out, you know?
So what do you do if the sound guy isn't doing their job?
The only thing you can do as a band is tough it through your set. Mm-hmm. Just play and do the best that you can. Don't cause a scene. And then after it's done, remember the sound guy's name and let all your friends know, hey, don't go there. This guy won't listen to you. I've seen clubs go out of business because of that.
Yes, I've seen that too. I've went to one, as a audience member, I went to one sort of club where the audio guy, he would harass the audience. He harassed me every time I went there and I wasn't with the band, because there's been times where I had friends performing and yeah. I was helping them out doing one thing or another. He was always cool with me. But if I was ever just an audience member,
yeah,
he would harass me because what? I was not the audience that they wanted there. I, you know, for whatever reason, I was in the wrong age group.
Okay,
I was
this is
the
weird.
Wrong gender, whatever. I would get harassed so, when I was sitting there minding my own business.
What, the band or the sound guy?
The sound guy, because the sound guy was also had a stake in the ticket purchases. Oh, that's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that happen at clubs too. It's so many egos and so many cliques and whatnot, you know? And what?
I did see a band
yeah.
that the audio was horrible. It wasn't the band, it was the audio guy. You right. could tell the mix was bad. And it was one of these like big fairs, like, you know, like a city fair or something like that.
Yeah.
And the band was Everclear. I'll just strip. The band was Everclear. Yeah, oh, man, they're a little man. Washed up, but they're a good band. They're
still
putting,
though, they're professional. They pay their dues.
Right.
Yeah.
And what they end up doing was they didn't call it a sound check.
Oh, what did they call it?
But they pretty much made another sound check. You know, when they introed the band, they did it a lot longer, and every person had like a full minute of them just doing their solo thing.
Yeah.
Pretty much a sound check, because he was like, hey, you listening to this? And the sound guy pretty much did another sound check for them, and the audio was better after that. They found a way to pretty much put him on the spot. And gave him what he needed to. Maybe there was an issue during sound check originally. I don't know. But the audience loved it because everyone's doing like a little funky thing, whatever it is they're doing. But I'm looking at him laughing like, they got the sound guy to do his job. That's awesome. Maybe it wasn't his fault. It was messed up to begin with.
But once again, this was Everclear, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now when you have a professional, Toad, when you have a professional band, you know, signed, they've already been published, they've been on the scene, they've paid their dues, usually you're not going to get the house sound guy. They're going to bring in their own sound guy. You know, so there's a good chance that what you saw that night was a stand-in side, sound guy. What am I doing? A sound guy. I mean, when you're a young band mm-hmm. and you're paying your dues, like, for example, last year I was with a friend at the state fair, okay? And I don't know what happened. We sounded great in the very beginning. Sound check was good. Returned, all of a sudden the sound was horrible. The sound guy just, it's almost as if someone called him and said, what? He's in that band, turn off the compressor and mess up the settings, you know? And true enough, I mean, and where does all the electrical outages come from all of a sudden, you know? It wasn't like we walked on stage with megawatts of gear. It was just small gear. But once again, you know, all these new bands, I feel for them. They go to a club, they're walking into unknown territory, knowing full well that there's a 70-30 chance that they will sound like poop. that night.
Well, let's take this back a little bit. You know, I'm somebody with some microphones. Some PA, some speakers and mm-hmm. stuff. XLR cord stuff to run around. Should I take an audio gig?
If you know what you're doing, if you have experience with sound and how to balance everything out, you're familiar with a room, if you have that kind of experience under your belt, don't be afraid to take a sound gig. Once again, I'm going to go back to this national performer who traveled all the way across the U.S. to get to a location where this sound guy, who actually charged more than a less experienced sound guy to run the gig, yet was experimenting all night on his iPad with an app which he is unfamiliar with at the expense of the performers. And I was there, the sound on stage, the mix was superior through the monitors than out in the crowd. Out in the crowd, it sounded like Tin Can City. And I saw this guy running around, putzing with his iPad. I'm like, oh, he's playing with a brand new app at the expense of the performers, one of which has many sponsors that fork out money. And I just had to shake my head.
Now, we're not saying no to apps. There's a lot of awesome apps.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times when I was being the sound guy for that venue, I'm there just because I'm supposed to be there, and the people do bring their own sound guy.
Yeah.
And or they are their own sound guy, so they doing their sound check, and they actually are,
yeah,
you know, wireless or whatever, running around the chairs in the audience with the iPad,
yes,
doing everything themselves, and I'm just taking their feed and throwing it to the house. That's what you gotta do sometimes.
I mean, that's fantastic if you know what you're doing, mm-hmm. and you have Absolutely. Experience with that app. But if you're experimenting at the expense of the entertainers, then that's just making you look bad, it makes them look bad, mm-hmm. and no one's gonna call you back. But again, back to your question, should you go run a gig? Looking back and in hindsight, let's say, for example, you are that less experienced sound person who had parlayed for that gig. You say, okay, I'll run sound, but then the other person had more experience, quote, end quote, and better gear, but charged more. In hindsight, I would have hired you to run the gig other than the, quote, unquote, more experienced veteran of sound.
Well, especially if they say that I'm going to be using it as an experiment, which they probably don't say, but when you're running into issues, you know, it's what you're saying. It's word of mouth. It's, you know, sometimes you don't have a say in it. You know, like if you go to a venue, they supply their own sound person.
Yes.
What I'm more curious is how should someone go about getting that experience, how they should go about being a sound person. I mean, obviously,
practice. Get out there. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. You know, go, like, in the very beginning, you're going to volunteer to run some sounds and PAs. Maybe start off with an open mic. You know, open mics mm-hmm. are a fantastic place to take your PA out. You know, you went out, you spent $800 on a new PA.
And okay, you, PA, you know, meaning public address. I know this is also a film crowd, that I have a whole video rant about the term PA.
Uh-oh.
PA, public address, PA, production assistant.
PA copyright.
Since I've done both, you know, I've done a bunch of stuff. When someone asks me for a PA, sometimes I'm completely confused. I don't know if they're asking for a student that's interning, or they're asking for speakers, or they want me to go hang out in Pennsylvania. I don't even know anymore.
I don't know, PA, you go to the .gov site and you download the copyright form. But anyway, for performance art, and yes, I tell all you musicians out there, be sure to get a PA, you know, whether you're a poet or a musician, PAs are fantastic. But again, to the sound PA.
It does open up a whole new world, too. There's a lot of coffee houses that don't do open mics because they've had bad experience with sound people. You're like, hey, I'll bring my own I have my own little speaker that I know and it works, and it's more than enough to fill this place.
Toad, I'll tell you
and
something.
Don't over or underestimate your stuff. Know what it does, because I've also seen people bring one speaker for a huge venue, which makes me wonder, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, for these little coffee houses, the winter is fast approaching, and I guarantee you in your town, there's at least one or two venues that is looking to, say, for example, keep the revenue streaming in. And an open mic works wonders. A lot of people say, oh, we're going to have an open mic. All the musicians are going to gather, and they're not going to buy a thing. Wrong. When it's cold outside, when you have an open mic and you have a lot of performers around, you have a lot of people spending money on coffee and croissant and whatever other nummins you got going on there at your establishment. So you, the sound person to be with your PA, go ahead on across town to that coffee shop and say, hey, you know, wintertime's fast approaching. Would you like me to host an open mic at your place? I have my own PA, and we're not going to have a rowdy crowd, yet we'll have entertainers. The banjo player in the next town might show up, you know, the duo, you know, that folk duo. Uncle Charlie's going to come down. Isn't just, you know, a bunch of young
There's
kids.
There's a lot of things you can do. I've seen people go, you know what? I want to do some spoken poetry. I can play guitar.
Yes.
I just want to do my own little show for a little bit. I'll bring my own speakers. I'll promote it. I can guarantee at least 5 to 10 people. But, you know, people coming in here, they'll probably stay a little bit longer if they have some entertainment.
Toad, man, I'll tell you honestly, I've hosted open mics in the past, and I've had not just maybe 10 show up. I've had 100, 150 show up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been awesome. Off the hook. It goes all night. We actually have to get people, shoo them out the front door when it comes to closing time. There have been even times when I've hosted open mics when the coffee house says it'd close at 11. And, oh, look, it's the weekend. Ah, we'll stay open till 2.
I've been places that did that, too.
And it was awesome. They were making
do shots with the owner.
It's like, they're making money. You're making money. Everyone's happy. The entertainers are happy, you know, that kind of thing. Their friends are hanging out. Where else is there to hang out when it's cold outside? Snow's blowing all around, you know. Boom.
You know, willing to think outside the box. I'm willing to, you know, super small place. If I don't have a PA, if I have an acoustic guitar, why not just play that, you know, talk to the owner, get permission, maybe play the acoustic guitar at an ice cream parlor. Why not? If it's still open during the winter, it might give someone a reason to go in there.
Yeah, and then when you have one person or a duo in there, then you have their friends show up, and then their friends' friends show up.
You tell your friends you're doing a thing at an ice cream parlor, just come in and hang out. Chances are they're going to buy something, at least one or two things, and a crowd sometimes attracts a crowd.
And they'll have coffee, too. Hey.
Right. Yeah, donut shops as well. Why not?
Yes. I mean, just think about all the great opportunities, where to practice as a sound person. And then from there, then suddenly people say, hey, you know, our band's playing at this big bar. And no one's going to be there to work the board. Can you come on along with the band? We know the owner. Go on down, work the board for us, that kind of thing. I've had that kind of thing happen in the past. It's worked out fantastic. You know, trial and error. You might not get paid too much, but by the same token, you can add that to your resume and roster of achievements as a sound person.
Now, remember, we're not talking about mixing professional audio for albums. We're talking about event sound. So there's a lot of different avenues here. There's event sound. And there's different types of event sound as well. I can't say I'm an expert at the subject. I'm not. But there's also mixing for professional audio for CDs and things to that caliber. And there's also audio for video and audio for podcasting radio, which is probably a little bit simple. But audio for video, I've had people come up and say, oh, I know exactly how to run audio for this. I could pick it up for you. Some of the worst audio I had is when I had to step away from being an audio guy for a movie I was working on, or short competition movie. And someone said, I can pick it up for you. And worst audio I had. And I actually got yelled at because I picked up the audio on it and I spent 40 minutes correcting it. They're losing daylight, they're losing time, But it needed to be done. It needed to be done.
See, I'm just making a point there, moving my mouth, because how many people you get out there running audio forget to check the levels. And then all of a sudden, it's like there's no sound or so.
For those that are only listening, he's moving his mouth open and closed like a really bad marionette.
But anyway, no, honestly, Toad's right. There's so many different aspects in the sound industry. You've got your live sound on a local level. All the high-end professional sound you're going to find in the major production houses, touring with the huge bands, are most likely going to be sound guys that have been in business for many years. Toad, I used to work with a medical information company, education company, and they had their own sound guy. This sound guy, you know, when you start getting paid the big money, he traveled with the band from the 60s. So he also ran...
Are we talking about the band, The Band?
Yes. He traveled with the... He was their sound guy. So when he went to this place that was looking for a sound guy, he said, this is my resume. I ran sound for them. He traveled the world and they said, oh, you're hired. And I've heard the guy work. I saw the guy work. I had heard him work. I was privileged enough to sit in the same studio with this gentleman. And... Yeah, he had the huge board and watches. He mathematically, intuitively danced around all the keys, you know, the knobs and dials. I was just floored. So, yeah, it takes a lot of experience.
Right. But at the same time, I've seen audio boards, gigantic ones, same thing with video switchers. Sometimes they, you know, different pieces of equipment, but some of the same principles. Doesn't matter how long it is like this, it's still the same thing this way. But if you want to impress a newbie that never seen anything, just get out your largest soundboard, switcher, and boy, do they're like, ooh, I don't want to touch any of those. If someone's standing with you, don't be afraid to touch things. When it's your time to learn, it's your time to learn. I'm not saying don't be careful, because don't walk up to someone else's stuff. Don't do what I did at that con. Just walk. I knew what I was doing. I did. I knew what I was doing, and I actually saved some people some money, and I saved myself time, and I got to see the movie I wanted to see. That may not be the best example, but that is an example of someone knowing what they're doing and stepping up to the plate. And as an independent creator, as we are, you have to be able to do that. You know, it is having the guts to walk up to a place and start moving furniture around sometimes. You know, there are limits. I'm not telling you to get in trouble, but don't be afraid to ask somebody. Don't be afraid to be like, hey, look, can I move this table? Can I do that? You know, I have my own mixer. Can I bring my own mixer instead of that one? Oh, you're using that for a reason? Okay, can I feed you sound? Very cool. So for a first-time sound person learning, what do you recommend them do? I always recommend working with somebody.
That's always the way to go, Toad. You know, you're going to find out in any form of work, any kind of media, whether it be film or sound or anything like that, you're always going to have somebody who's mentoring you, you know? I mean, I'm sure you can look back to somewhere in your life when, you know, you're just a toad and kid running around the streets, and it's like, wow, here's this sound guy, here's this video guy, I want to be like this person. And I mean,
well, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
we all have our mentors.
I mean, it's like I remember there's a place, I'm going to say maybe Baltimore, Maryland. I knew a couple guys who hung out at the TV studio and thought, oh, this is great, you know, and they gave me lots of tips and tricks on what to do. I ran into some producers in the recording industry, like with Sony Records, with Columbia Records, and they'd say, well, you want to do it this way and that way, and they give you hints and pointers. And even with the bands, you know, that I'd worked with, like with, I worked with recording with Megadeth on some interviews, and, you know, even Dave Mustaine gave me some pointers here and there. And whenever somebody of that caliber gives you some pointers, you better well listen, you know? And being the young, you know, snotty little kid that I was, I said, okay, I'm going to put aside my ego and listen. And
right. I was tossing the fire. One of my first sound gigs I was paid for, nobody, actually, I think most of the sound gigs I was paid for when I was starting out, I was literally just tossing. I mean, I knew how to work a soundboard. I worked as a board op for a radio station. Little bit of different game, not live event. I was working at a radio station, yeah. And then they tossed me behind a board for actually Brian Brushwood.
Wow.
He's a magician, stand-up comedian. He also has some shows. I don't know if he's still doing Scam School, but he has some TV shows and stuff that he's doing. And I'm the guy kind of scratching my head. And I had some really weird things I had to follow for that venue.
I mean, did you know this was an internship or just a job? They just threw you right in or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Because, I mean, I worked with an internship. And, you know, oh, yeah, come work with this rock and roll show. And the first thing that happened, I walked through the door. Hey, you know how to run this camera? I said, I can figure it out. Okay, here you go. Take this. You're going to go. And let's see. Tonight, you are going to be working with our girl. We had a girl who would... ask mm-hmm. We had a hot girl. Yeah, of course, you got to have the hot girl on the microphone talk to the rock stars. You're going to take our interviewer, and you're going to go down. You're going to set up cameras and lights, and you will be interviewing tonight Iron Maiden. I went, what? Yeah, Iron Maiden. We have all the passes here, press passes and everything. You're the first camera guy came along that we think can handle the responsibility. I go, Iron Maiden. I'm taking her and me. And my brother's going to go along. He's going to set up the lights. Okay, so we have... And I keep going to myself, Iron Maiden.
It's only Iron Maiden, man. What's the big deal?
With Iron... What? Huh? So that, you know, it's like back in the metal days, you know, you go... you know, you go suddenly from being out in the crowd way back in like 89 millionth row to being... backstage.
You're tossed in.
And I'm like, oh, Dave Murray. Oh my God. It's like so much I wanted to just like go and say, dude, I saw you in Lauderdale, man. You shred. Oh, you have to put that aside and all of a sudden go from starstruck to business.
Yeah, I think I learned that when I had to ask Nikki Sixx to move all his people out of my hallway because I'm working and I'm running back and forth. that was when I worked at a radio station. I know you're doing some autographs. Can you guys just move this way? You mean get out of your way? Yes, please. Dude, you can't do that. Dude, I got stuff I gotta do. I was just an intern.
What you mean?
Some people admire that.
What you mean Nikki Sixx kind of gave you a little bit of flack?
No, he was great.
Oh, I was about to say, you know, he sounds like, you know, I kind of figured he'd be from California, be like a typical surfer dude mentality. Like, ah, sure, man, it's cool.
He's a big celebrity.
Yeah.
And he just came out with that book, The Heroin Diaries.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And people were lining up, all these people that worked at the radio station. We're not even talking about on a location. We're talking about at the radio station.
Yeah, yeah.
In there, all these employees lining up to talk to him in the middle of a hallway. And me, as an intern, don't really care because there's no way people that have been working there for 5-10 years are going to let me stand in front of them because I have to get to class in an hour. I just have to finish this workout so I could go to class.
Because I couldn't,
I'm paying to go to class. I'm not paying to meet, you know, it's cool. Great. I see him. That's awesome. I don't need a picture or nothing. I got stuff I got to do. I'm worried about a career.
Yeah, because I was about to say, you know, when you said something about Nikki Sixx, about all those 80s rockers were mm-hmm. way cool. And they'd be like, yeah, dude, whatever you want, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I was like thinking, man, wait a minute. He couldn't have given you any flack. Those were some cool folks back then.
He was fine. I don't really remember anything other than I had to get past because I was working and I had a timeline because I had to get to class, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It is what it is.
And you run into that. You're running around trying to take care of something and someone wants to talk to you. And then you turn around and notice, oh man, this is like a billionaire or something that needs to talk to me about something. Hey man, where'd you get your pants? Jankos.
So you actually had like the tour manager, the manager, the head of the band say, dude, man, I want your pants.
Oh, that's just an example. But I have them pulled aside because JNCOs are awesome. I should really try to get an endorsement deal with them or something.
And be like, yeah, I can see like, you know, what is it? Warrant, you know, obviously you don't know you're talking to the guy from Warrant. All of a sudden, dude, man, I want your pants.
Oh, yeah, that's happened too. It's like, I don't know who I'm talking to.
You know.
One thing that got me not in trouble, but I've had issues because I did, was I assumed somebody knew more than me. This person been, you know, someone that's been working longer than me.
Yeah.
And I assumed they knew more than me.
Okay.
When I knew what the issue, you know, when I knew the cause of whatever the issue was and I could fix it right away. Oh, no, that's not it. That's not it. There's been so many situations where I had to sit down and, you know, time go by, time is money, and I had to wait till they walk away, and then I fix the issue. It's like, well, what'd you do? This, didn't you tell them to do that? Yeah. Well, how come you didn't press it more? Because they knew this. This doesn't matter. You know how to fix it. I'm not telling people to have an ego. In fact, it's kind of reverse having an ego, just being realistic.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do know more than someone that's been there a lot longer than you, or been doing this job a whole lot longer than you. Most of the time you don't. But the thing is, when it comes to technology, it changes daily and no one knows your equipment like you do. Hopefully. Learn your equipment and no one will know your equipment like you do.
But let me ask you something, Toad. That what you're talking about, was this a large event, large scale event?
It has happened at larger scale.
Okay, events. Because I was about to say, and that's another thing you're going to find at the large scale events, you're not just going to find one big dog working the whole show. You're going to find several peeps. So it's kind of like proofreaders in a way. You know, you're going to have a sound guy set the board, but that sound guy can't be behind the board. Mm-hmm. You know, sound guy's up on stage. He's got assistants. And some of these assistants are going to...
You're putting like a super large scale. You're talking about your larger venues.
Yeah, like, but
band
also
venues and stuff.
It's not going to be uncommon that you have some outdoor festivals, Toad, where somebody has their sound gear, they brought in the whole PA setup, they got their board, but they're going to be so busy doing A over there on that side of the stage where they're going to need somebody who knows just about as much, you know, whatever, to be back at the board, back and forth, and know what they're doing. So it's not uncommon to find an assistant sound person out there. And that's where, of course, the whole, you know, get rid of the egos, get rid of the politics, because you, and that's the thing, find a friend that you can hook up with and do these things together.
Right. Now, keep in mind, there are certain rules, like some people are in unions, or that's why you talk to people, you learn it. You might not be allowed to touch the board, but you can ask them questions. Maybe it won't be before the event, but maybe it'll be during an intermission or after the event or after sound check. You never know. Or just send them an email after the event. And one, people love getting thank yous, I assume.
Oh, yes, yes.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow it up, not once, but maybe two or three times, I'm way more able to talk to you like that. You know, you get a lot of emails right away. Hey, look, I want to try to do this stuff. And then you never hear from the person ever again. So if you're really into something, it's just another way of networking. Always network. Always network. Always network.
Yes.
Not everyone's going to be open to it. That's fine. That's why you're always doing it, right?
Yeah, you got to show up for life, you know, and you got to practice. It's all about practice, practice. You know, you just can't be the sound guy 1 week and then all of a sudden, well, I haven't touched a board in months. You know, you always got to be doing something. Just like video editing, you know, Toad, you're editing all the time, man. So you're never out of practice. You're learning more as you go along. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is with anything. Sound, video, what have you. Practice, practice. Get out there. Show up for life.
Okay, so we talked about a little about sound editing. I mean, we talked a lot about meeting sound guys, some about our experience, some of our woes, and some battle stories. Tell us about your battle stories. Yeah. What do you want us to talk about? Comment, rate, subscribe. You could comment on MediaLitterySandwich.com. You could comment on Pod Bros. You could comment pretty much any forum that we are on. Once again, this is Crazy Mark from CrazyMark.com, and I'm Toden from Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToadenK. Media Litter Sandwich all the way. Thank you very much, Pod Bros. Always sending our love to Pod Bros. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And I hope you enjoyed our discussion.
Peace out.